Well, I appreciated the opportunity always to come and share with you all. And then I looked at the topic. And there has been a lot in the news recently about boundaries, about the damage that can be done. And it's a little intimidating, to be honest with you. And so again, my prayer this entire week has been not to do harm, but to be able to use a story, a difficult story in Scripture to help move us to freedom in Christ so that we can really know who we're created to be. Well, to start off, I remember my first thought around boundaries. And that was about my two younger sisters. And one of the things, because, you know, once my sister could talk, I started to get in a lot more trouble with my parents. And so I came up with the genius idea, I thought it was genius, that we were going to split up our room, our common rooms, into two parts. And as the older brother, I had the idea that I was going to go ahead and to take the side with the door in the bathroom and things like that. So anytime she crossed over it, she would get in trouble. I would think that that's what was going to happen. But the truth of the matter is, I still got in trouble because I was supposed to know better. And I remember my grandmother taking me aside and telling me that you cannot create boundaries with family. You are supposed to love each other, and you should be able to trust family. Well, Laban presents the same kind of worldview to Jacob. Over the last couple weeks, we've been talking about Jacob and how his identity was kind of a struggle, and he has gone forth to try and figure out what that is, but again, it's been a struggle. And he leaves his home with his mother and father and brother under suspect circumstances. His brother was so angry at him that he thought he was going to kill him. And he runs away to his uncle's house. And so Laban comes, and they meet, and we're going to pick up with Genesis 29, verses 14 to 20. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." There's something special about that moment when you know you're with family. You're supposed to be able to trust them. And after Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you're a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. But they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Now, once we get over the fact that Jacob wanted to marry his cousin, which was common in the ancient world, not so common today, it seems like a very sweet love story. And the perfect way to fulfill the dream that God gave Jacob that Pastor Tim talked about last week. I mean, it sounds like this great romance movie, and just like this movie, almost.
"Oh, boy, fill these with water. Please."
"As you wish."
That day, she was amazed to discover that when he was saying, "as you wish," what he meant was, "I love you." And even more amazing was the day she realized she truly loved him back.
"Come, boy." "Fetch me that pitcher."
I mean, just very sweet, right? 7 years he works. And, you know, now my wife, I had to travel down one time to meet my future in-laws, to ask them for permission to marry my wife. And there's only 7 months of us dating, so Wait, you're not supposed to roll your eyes. Honey, I would work 7 years to marry you all over again. Yeah, that's cute. She still rolled her eyes. Now, I just imagine Jacob telling Rachel over and over as he's working the fields, as you wish, over 7 years of work. Scripture tells us that the 7 years, again, just a few days. But the other shoe drops, and Jacob learns a painful lesson in the rest of Genesis 29. And Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to make love to her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. And Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one." 7 years of work, and you don't think Laban would have mentioned it at all? 7 years. And I can't even imagine how Jacob feels at this point. He's probably feeling confused, hurt, humiliated, violated. You see, we deal with the same problem in the text still today. We all go through difficult times. We all encounter difficult people, and we all go through difficult situations. At some point in our lives, we too have been confused, hurt, humiliated, and felt violated. And when we feel this, who we are as our identity can be rocked and shattered. We don't know where to turn or who to trust. The closer the person, the more difficult it can be to recover. And a lot of times it seems to hurt the most when it's from family. For Jacob, this is from family. And I wonder if Jacob looked up to Laban as a father figure. And as Pastor Tim said in week one of the sermon series, it seemed like a lot of what he wanted was to be loved by his biological father. And so this was another person that had hurt him. He thought he had been welcomed in. He was told that he was valued. And those promises are dashed. Instead of finding a father figure, he found humiliation. Instead of someone honoring their word, he found himself having to work another 7 years to fulfill an oath for someone who didn't respect his boundaries. "Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant Bilhah to be his daughter to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. Instead of finding family, Jacob finds this discord, which would stay with him for his entire life. Notice that the scripture doesn't say that the next 7 years felt like just a few days. The pain of working for someone who lied, someone who took advantage of you, and who did not respect Jacob as a child of God, I'm sure felt terrible. But the good news is that while Jacob found pain in the midst of this difficult situation, God was with him. God didn't treat Jacob like Laban did. Remember last week that God promised Jacob four things: land, descendants, that his descendants would be a blessing to the entire earth, and finally, that God would never leave him. I imagine in this moment, knowing that God would not leave him was the only way Jacob could get through another 7 years of work. God was all-powerful and loved Jacob more than any father figure would. Friends, for those of us who have been hurt, the same good news is available to us today. Know that you are loved and good enough and valued in God's eyes. Know that your identity as a beautiful child of God cannot ever be defined by someone who would disrespect you. I know that's easier said than lived into. When we are treated as less, it's hard to look at the other side and see love, life, and our own true self-identity. We need to learn how to set boundaries so we can live into our call that God has put into our lives. We need to learn how to set boundaries and say no to those who would demean us and hurt us through the hard, hard work of healing. We need to open up to others. And when we walk together as a community, as Restoration Church, then we build one another up and help people realize that they should never feel confused, hurt, humiliated, or violated. Now, one of my favorite movies shows the damage that can be done when we don't set boundaries, when we don't speak out against those who have hurt us, and when we forget whose we are. Will Hunting from the movie Good Will Hunting is this character. Will was abused by his foster father and allowed that trauma to hurt others. Throughout the movie, we hear that Will gets into fights, verbally attacks people, and sabotages his own future. He has not set up real boundaries to live into his giftedness as a mathematical genius, and instead works as his janitor at MIT. It isn't until Will meets Sean, a psychology professor at a community college, that he is able to move on from his trauma and live a more productive life.
So, what is it like? Will has an attachment disorder? Is it all that stuff? Fear of abandonment? Is that why I broke up with Skylar?
I didn't know you had.
I did.
You want to talk about it?
No.
Hey, Will. I don't know a lot. This is not your fault.
Yeah, I know that.
Look at me, son. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
I know.
No, you don't. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
All right.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
Oh, God. Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Jacob, in a lot of ways, is like Will Hunting. He never dealt with this trauma and thus helped perpetrate the same confusion, hurt, humiliation, and violation that Laban had done to him. He became the difficult person. Leah was less loved, and she knew it. It says it in the scriptures. She was a victim of the society and systems around her. How embarrassing to know that you were always less than, and this is how you wed your husband. Jacob's lack of empathy and love for his wife created jealousy and divisions between the sisters, and ultimately between the children. Jacob continues to deceive others and ends up repeating his father's mistakes when he's very public about his love for Joseph and how much he loves him the best. Jacob needed a Sean to tell him that wasn't his fault, to set up boundaries so he can fully live into his calling as a leader and as a game changer. The same love and kindness that God had shown him, Jacob didn't show that to his own family. Many of his children, besides the incident with Joseph, had other issues. And it's just a heartbreaking story. But the good news is that God is calling us today to know that it is never too late. We can stop the cycle today by seeking help. First, by realizing our own identity, and second, by creating boundaries, and finally, by finding those who will say to us,
"As you wish,"
and actually mean it. I want to encourage you to pray with one another today. If this has woken up something in you, I want to encourage you to find a therapist. I know I see one. We talk about my childhood and how it impacts me today. And I wasn't abused. Don't be embarrassed to seek help, to seek others, and to set up boundaries, because it's the only way we can live into our identity as children of God. If we unlock our identity as beloved children, then we can go out and actually love this world and change lives. Change the lives of those we care for and change society as a whole. We can become a part of the solution instead of continuing the cycle of confusion, of hurt, of humiliation and violation. And instead work to love God and love others with everything we have. To live out the dreams and passion that God has called us to. This is the beautiful dream that God offered Jacob and offers us as well. That instead of confusion, we might live into a clarity of identity in God. Instead of hurt, we could find self-worth. Instead of humiliation, there can be dignity for us as children of God. And instead of violation, there is the dream that we can make this earth more like the kingdom of God, like heaven. Friends, when we set up boundaries, when we realize that we are loved by God and not defined by difficult situations and people, we can live into our identity and live into what God has in store for us.